Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty. This is 30 minutes of Dynasty Trades for your Thursday. I am here. Carlo is joining me. Welcome, Carlo. Let's get right into it. And I sent you over a whole list. We talked about some players that we thought were interesting. Let's start with Michael Pittman. So we got Michael Pittman, and these are all super flex trades. So Michael Pittman, a 2022 third for a 2022 second and a 2023 second. What's your thoughts on that?
I think that's a fair trade. I think that Pittman is almost asymmetrical at this point. I mean, we've seen the wide receivers be kind of insulated. So, and he's getting a lot of targets. He could break out. So I think I would buy Pittman at that price.
When you say he's asymmetrical, what do you mean?
Well, it's the whole insulated thing, right? Like it doesn't matter how often a wide receiver disappoints. There's always someone in the offseason that kind of believes in them. So you can kind of get a free pass at it. But I mean, I did my rest of season projections and I have him actually top 24 going forwards because just of the target volume that he's seeing, he's not catching a ton of them, but I think he could be a legit breakout.
He's a huge regression candidate in all the numbers. So
positive regression, right?
Positive. Yeah. In a very much like it's just simmering and going to explode type of way.
I see the same thing. I think we've been lucky. If you want to buy him, I think you've been lucky that he hasn't popped yet.
Right. I think you got to do it. Like, I think if you want to go out and get him, like you probably should do it the next, like before week five, right? It would sort of be make it a point. And again, he's not in the core asset group right now, but this feels like the appropriate price to pay. And I like that idea, you know, and even if he sort of goes like you said, I sort of like your thought on he's insulated. If he doesn't pop, right, there's going to be someone in the off season making the case that, hey, listen, like all his, everything looked really good. He just didn't blow up. You know what I mean?
And there's going to, you know, it's Wentz or it's Eason or whoever. There's going to be excuses. So use that. I mean, don't believe in that, but I'm saying use that as the insulation. You can probably get out of him for something similar at some point next year from a believer.
Yeah. All right. So here's another one. It's a different angle on it. So Tom Brady and Julio for Terrence Marshall Jr., Pittman, Tommy Tremble, and a 2022 second. So this feels very much like rebuilding to contending type of trade.
Hmm.
In terms of the Brady Julio side being, you know, supercharging or turbocharging a contender to, you know, someone else trying to take on some future assets because they're not in it with Brady and Julio.
Depends on the roster size, but I mean, it feels like the, you know, four quarters for a dollar type of thing. It's like, yeah, I'd almost rather have the core assets. Like I think as a rebuild, it makes sense to go the Pittman side, but I think you can do it in a better way than this. It's not my favorite construct. I think Brady is going to be, I mean, I'd rather get a first for Brady, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Like, yeah. There's a better way to sell Brady than just to get these little pieces. Not that I don't like the little pieces. I'm just not a massive fan of the construct.
Let me ask you this. Would you trade Julio and Brady for a 2023 first?
Boy. I'd have to be certain that I'm also not contending next year because there's no Brady could continue. Like he's the top of his game, right? Like it's scary. I don't think we should ever fall into the pattern of I'm rebuilding, I must sell an old player. There's a world in which like you're retooling / rebuilding and Tom Brady's a big part of your push next year, if that makes sense. So I don't love the 2023 first route. I would probably want more. And I think later in the season, if Brady continues at his current level, barring that Patriots rain game, somebody is going to be willing to pay more than that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. It's funny. Cause like you're probably one of the few people that wouldn't take the first in that, but I like where you're at in terms of like Brady can help you next year. I'll say this, I'm sort of working on a rebuilding project. I'm going to do a little rebuilding edition. And I think that people go too far out in the rebuilds. And like, I've done it this year where I'm like, I'm not selling for 2 years from now. I'm doing it in a year. And I have not locked on one seeds, but I am sort of firmly in contention for a buy, right? Because I've sort of done that. And I'm sort of with you. I think sometimes we go a little bit too far out on the rebuild. I think what you think of Brady playing next year probably factors a lot into that pick.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If you're scared of, you know, him not playing every game, but like for me, I'm okay eating that. Although I'm never going to hold him on a rebuild. Having said that, I want to sell him. I want something better than this. I want core asset back, because you could make an argument that Brady is a core asset depending on how long he plays for. He's a very weird binary. It's not like Drew Brees at the end of his career, because Drew Brees wasn't really playing very well. He was kind of screwing you over a lot. Brady is like winning me weeks. It's hard to just give that away because you're quote unquote supposed to.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you. He's a tough one to trade. I sold him for a second in a spot a couple of years ago, and it's just, I can't look myself in the mirror in good conscience anymore. All right. Here's one I think that we can come to a pretty clear answer on: Pittman and a 2023 first for Rondale Moore.
What is happening here? What is happening here?
Isn't that this dynasty at its worst? Like,
that had
this
to be post like massive game from Rondale.
Right. Isn't this, you're totally buying high on Rondale Moore at the cost of like a wide receiver who's probably not substantially better and a significantly insulated pick. Like, this seems like the absolute worst way to do a deal. Like, if you wanted to acquire Rondale Moore, it seems like the absolute worst way to do it, because there's so many ways to lose.
If I had to guess, this is somebody, it's post Rondale huge game, and it's somebody that's kind of new to dynasty that's like, oh, it's a first like 2 years from now, why would I care? Like, and isn't in the whole circle of 2023 is like the god class or right, whatever, that everybody else, which also goes too far too in the other direction, but yeah.
Right. That'll be a narrative building thing. All right. Here's what I think is interesting. Pittman and a 2022 second for a 2022 first.
That's going to be contextual, right? I mean, it depends on what the projections are. If that's an early first, and you know, that wouldn't make sense though. If you're selling Pittman, I guess you're probably a contender, but why would you be buying a first?
Right.
So I'm trying to like dissect this trade.
So let's just treat it as random. Like, let's just treat it as it's equally probable to be a championship pick versus the 101.
I think I would do it. I don't know. I actually, in a rebuild, I got Pittman when I didn't really care about him.
Mm-hmm.
Before I saw this underlying stuff of, hey, maybe he's going to break out. Mm-hmm. I got Pittman as like almost a throw in. And after his, you know, big performance, I think it was week two,
mm-hmm,
I said I would sell for any random first. I sent that across the league. I said, if anyone wants to send a first, I will sell him right now. And I didn't get any bites on that. Now, would I throw a second onto it? It's actually, even though he's gotten worse since that breakout, quote unquote breakout game, I'm more confident in him. Does that, mm-hmm, make sense?
Right.
It's like the underlying stuff looks good, like his usage. That's a really tough one for me. I think if it's random, I'll take the first. Yeah, probably I'll take the first, because it's just going to go so high in value by the time the draft rolls around.
It feels like if you take the first, you could do this trade at any point again. Right, like you can, that doesn't eliminate your ability to get Pittman. And like, if it's on the clock at some point, like you can probably get Pittman plus for it. Kind of the way it feels.
Yeah, because if it's a mid first, you can definitely reverse it at least for Pittman at draft time.
Right.
Unless Pittman goes bananas. Like, we never know what's gonna happen, but wide receiver is largely replaceable. I think I'd take the upgrade.
Right, I'm with you. And then there's just a flat 2022 first for Pittman. And
I'm definitely taking the first. Yeah.
Definitely taking the first there. Okay. So we are 9:40 in. Cordarrelle Patterson. All right. So this one's really interesting. And I think you and I were talking about beforehand, talking about potentially buying high on players. And I'm fascinated to see how Patterson sort of fits in there. And if you talk about that a little bit. So let's just, there are a ton of these. So we've had a ton of them in the trade finder, and this is where I'm getting all the trades from. Just a straight 2022 Superflex second for Cordero Patterson. Just assume it's random. What do you think about it?
I think it could make sense for both sides. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I see Patterson as Kareem Hunt that's performed well every game. Their usage is almost the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that different. So if I could get Kareem Hunt for a second, he doesn't have the same longevity. But I think in terms of a win now, I like it for both sides, depending on which direction you're going.
Okay. Acres for Patterson.
Again, it depends on the direction. No, I'm probably holding Acres. I don't think that's good for, I don't think that's good market value.
Interesting. Is Patterson a 1 year? Is this like, I was thinking about Patterson, and I went through and I did a whole podcast yesterday and I did another one talking about Patterson. And after I stopped recording, all I thought was like, you know who Patterson is? You already named him. I go, he's Kareem Hunt.
I go, I hadn't listened to you. Oh, wait.
I came in the chat afterwards and I was like, you know, I spent all this time talking about him. And then I realized once I hit stop that he's actually Kareem Hunt, because he's absolutely a playable player at this point. Plus, if something happens to Davis, he's an auto start, right? I mean, isn't that really what you're looking for?
I would disagree there, because I don't think that his role changes with Davis, in my opinion.
So you think
that
Davis,
I think that this is a role that they've created for him.
Okay.
If you look, he must be getting the ball every time he's on the field. He's only seeing 30% of snaps.
Right.
But he's getting like 7 carries and like 6 targets a game. Yep. So he must literally every single time he's on the field get the ball. Like, right. So to me, it's very designed, and I don't think that they would change that, in my opinion.
Interesting. So this really represents like a floor situation. The other thing too is I think like, how does this go away? And there's not a readily, outside of injury or suspension, there's not a readily discernible way in which this would stop.
Just efficiency. That's the only thing. And that's why I always say, that's why I do my projections. I say it all the time to chat. It's like, layer your projections on top of the profile or, you know, the big picture stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If I projected this guy to get 7 attempts and 7 reception or 7 targets a game, I'm not going to think he's going to light the world on fire, but he's going to be someone I can plug in probably weekly in a flex, which is weird to say about someone that's like, was he running back 2 or 2 on the season?
Something like that. Yeah.
But you have to be realistic about the usage. Like, he's the touchdowns and also the efficiency is, he hasn't changed as a player. He's like, did he get better from last year? Like, I don't think that's a smart thing to say. Is he performing better? Yeah. But he's the same player he's always been.
He's in a
good role with a smart head coach, who someone I believe is a smart head coach.
Right.
And they seem to be designing the plays for him. They've worked exceptionally well. Also, no defense is keyed in on him. You think defenses are going to care about him now, especially when literally every time he sees the field, he's getting the ball. So I see him literally as a Kareem Hunt that's older, if you will. Maybe not a terrible comp is like a Danny Woodhead when he was usable.
Mm. Yeah.
So I'd say, again, buy, because there are teams that are in rebuild that had Patterson by accident and they will sell him for literally like a third.
Right.
I think in that situation, if you have the need, go ahead.
Right. Yeah, I think that's right. So here's a couple. So 2/3, 1 next year and 1 in 2024 for Patterson.
I think that's fine. It depends on team need. If you got a lot of injuries at running back, but you're a contender and you need to plug that hole, this is contingent on the fact you can play him at running back. If you can only play him at wide receiver, I'm not really interested at all.
Okay. Patterson and a 4th for Matt Ryan.
In a super flex?
In super flex.
Ryan all day.
Right. Doesn't that seem like, because the consequences of being right on that, like if Ryan is not cooked, like that's the right side, right?
Like even if Ryan is cooked, it's like Patterson's cooked next year probably, right?
Yeah.
Or you could have a starting quarterback next year. Like it's definitely, it's easily Ryan. It's so hard to lose that trade,
right? because you have to lose both ways, right? Like exactly. you have to lose multiple ways. You have to, Ryan has to be bad and Patterson has to be good. Patterson and Emmanuel Sanders for a second.
I'll take this for, again, it depends on, I don't think you need both of them. I'd rather just pay a third for one of them.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. I feel like if you need both of them to compete, I think there's something wrong and maybe you shouldn't be competing. Like if you need one of them to be a role player, which is a status that I've added to your core player status, I call them like role players, Emmanuel Sanders, you know, Tim Patrick's of the world. If you need a role player, I want to play a third. I don't want to play a second.
Yeah. That's a contributor. So maybe I'll rebrand and go with a role. But I've been a contributor. So maybe a role player.
I have four categories, and we can talk about this more offline. But I mean, it's like your core player. Mm-hmm. Then there's like the speculative player that you can kind of flex sometimes, which is like Javonte Williams-esque, or like Mac Jones. If you need to start him, you can. But they're kind of like the speculative young guys. Mm-hmm. Then there's the role players, which are the older guys that, you know, you have to be. You only bought them to play them. If you're not going to play them, you might as well sell them.
You might as well not have them.
Right. Exactly. Like the Corey Davises, the Tim Patricks, like the, for less of an extent, the Mike Davises. Then there's injury away. And then there's like pure flyer, which is like Anthony Schwartz, like wide receivers that I don't usually own a lot of.
You give a lot of people definitions. I actually go up. I have more selective than core. So I don't know. It's the pyramid of core. I gotta hone it in. It's not ready for prime time yet. It'll be there. It'll be there when it matters, which is January.
I like it.
All right. Here we go. Here's a big boy trade. Gibson or big girl trade. Gibson, Patterson, and a 2022 second for DK Metcalf.
Antonio Gibson. Oh, that's got to be Gibson, I think. Oh, God, I don't know, because there's longevity of the wide receiver. I think I can. Oh, man, that's so hard. Depends what you believe about Gibson. I like Gibson because he's a player that even in a bad game, he can score. That's what I want in a running back. It's like, that's what I love about DeAndre Swift. It's like, oh man, you watch a game and you're like, this sucks. And then you look at the score and you're like, oh, that was great. And then there are other players, like it's like the opposite of Damian Harris, where you're like, this guy's, God, he's having a great game. Oh wait, it wasn't very good. Like, like I want the player that will fall in the end zone, could catch an 80-yard touchdown, doesn't need 100% of the usage to be. I'm going to take Gibson there.
You're taking the Gibson side. Okay.
Taking the Gibson in the second and the Patterson. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You have a lot of ways to win that. So I will say that. I think it's interesting the other side of that. Like, you could argue that Metcalf's probably a different level than Gibson in terms of security. So it's interesting there in terms of, I think a lot of it matters what you think about
it. It's Gibson. Hard. Gibson is so polarizing.
Right.
So like I'm in the camp that I think Gibson has like Dalvin Cook CMC upside, which I don't think is very, I don't think a lot of people feel that way, but I do. And he's also contributing in the meantime. He's not killing me. It's tough. Be fair, I've never owned DK Metcalf, so I don't know what that would feel like. I feel like maybe if I had owned him in one league before, I would be like, no, there's no way.
It feels something. There's a feeling to it. All right. Daryl Henderson. Here we go. We got Daryl Henderson trades. All right. And we are, we got about 12 minutes left here. We got Daryl Henderson, 11 minutes left.
We'll try
Daryl
Henderson up a little bit.
And Mike Evans for Stephon Diggs.
Daryl Henderson, Mike Evans for Stephon Diggs. Fuck. That's hot. God. Give me Diggs.
That's interesting. You have to think the gap is pretty big between Diggs and Evans to take the Diggs side, right?
I do. That's my thing. I think he's like Davante Adams last year tier, and he's being used that way. He's just not hitting. He's getting a lot of air yards, and we saw it come to fruition last week. I think he's going to literally be in that top 1, 2, 3 that like destroyed everything.
Interesting. So, okay.
And he has to be that to win, but I think that.
Right. Okay. Daryl Henderson and Marvin Jones for Travis Etienne and Dimitri Felton. So I kind of look at this as almost like Henderson for ETN straight up. It's kind of how I feel about it.
I think Marvin Jones is much more of a role player than Dimitri Felton. Mm-hmm. And then there's also like, there's a lot of questions for ETN. It almost as much as Henderson at this point. I don't know, it's hard. I think if you're a win now, it's definitely Henderson, Marvin Jones side. And I think if you're not win now, there's a question as to whether, I mean, I guess you can always sell ETN in the offseason because he'll come back to value. If you're rebuilding, take the ETN side. Mm-hmm. But easy if you're contending, keep Henderson and Marvin Jones, in my opinion. Okay.
All right. Henderson, same sort of construct. Henderson for Dobbins.
God, it's so gross. Again, it depends on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the value-wise, it's going to be Dobbins. In the offseason, people are going to want Dobbins more than Henderson.
Right. But if you're winning right now, it doesn't seem like a horrible price to pay for having Henderson. And I think that there's some reason to suggest like he could be kind of high impact player here down the stretch. So it's interesting.
Henderson's one of those weird players that's like, yes, okay, great. He's been awesome. I'm so happy that I have him. But he's getting injured all the time. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if Dobbins is my exit in that situation. But
right. Yeah. Right. Okay. All right, here we go. Chase Edmonds. Adam Thielen and Chase Edmonds for a 2022 first. Somewhere Tyler is screaming at his headphones right now with saying Thielen and Edmonds on this, I'm guessing.
I am, it's hard for me because I'm very anti-Thielen, and I know everybody's been anti-Thielen forever, but his underlying, like his yards per route run were not good last year.
There's got to be regression at some point, right? He can't score this many touchdowns.
It happened
last
week.
He can't score 14% touchdown rate.
It happened last week. I mean, you can see when he doesn't score a touchdown, it's not fun. And I don't want to endure that. But Edmonds has like, dare I say it, Eckler upside. So again, it's going to be dependent. If you're super deep and middling, I take 2022 first. If I'm rebuilding, definitely take 2022 first. If you're not super deep, but you are competing, keep Thielen and Edmonds.
Do you think if Edmonds is like going to be your running back two and Thielen's going to be like your wide receiver three, like you do this, whereas if Edmonds is going to be your running back four and Thielen's going to be like your wide receiver four, you don't? Is that kind of what you mean by that?
Yes, okay. Definitely. Definitely. Okay. Yeah.
Right. If they're going to play for you, it might be worth the squeeze on the players.
Exactly. Which, like you're scathing by because you have studs at tight end and quarterback.
Right.
And you need to plug some holes at running back and wide receiver. This makes sense.
Right. Like, okay. All right. Edmonds for Jacoby Myers in a 2022 second.
Oh man. I mean, Jacoby Myers was like borderline waiver wire, like mm-hmm. before the season and could return there. I guess I'll take Edmonds. It's hard. In a full PPR, I'd take Edmonds.
Yeah. Jacoby Myers has got a fascinating profile. I just don't know if he gets there ultimately, but it's like the workload's pretty big. It's just not.
It's really good. Zero yeah. touchdowns in his career.
Correct.
How's that possible? Just Thielen, share Thielen.
Give your touchdowns away.
Seriously. Give them away. Matt, maybe Jacoby can share some of his usage.
Right.
And we'll meet in the middle. Some right. good.
We'll spread it around. All right, 6 minutes to go. Here we go. Deebo Samuel. Deebo in a 2023 first for Aaron Rodgers and a 2022 third. I started off with a doozy of one.
Shit. 12 team, I'll take Deebo in the 2023 first.
Wow.
I know
it's not Rodgers, right?
I don't think Rodgers is a difference maker. He was last year, but he hadn't. I know I'm gonna get killed for saying that. But I don't know. And then he's gonna move teams. It's scary. And I really like Deebo. It sounds like a buy high. He's one of my buy high players.
To be on this side, so when you say buy high, I feel like to be on this side, you have to think Deebo Samuel is like a top 10. And I'm not saying it's wrong, but I think you have to think that Deebo Samuel is like a top 10 dynasty wide receiver. Is that where you're at?
I don't think you have to think that. Okay. I've had this other realization that I've had, and this, you might hate this too. I don't think, I think quarterbacks in Superflex 12 team are super overrated. In 12 team, 14 team, it makes a massive difference because of the scarcity is added. For context, I have Rodgers outside of my top 12 for the rest of season projections. So I feel like that's going to get some hate too. But yeah, I don't really know how else to add to that.
Okay. All right.
I could understand both sides. It also depends what you have at quarterback. I mean, I think it's an even trade. I think it's a fair trade.
Okay. Okay.
Do you think it's a smash Rodgers? I mean, you're a smash Rodgers, right?
I mean, here's the thing. Like, I think if you think that highly of Debo and you're sort of that part of the class, I have a hard time seeing how Rodgers loses big, right? Like, I have a hard time seeing how owning Rodgers over the next 2 years, you lose this deal, especially if it's your own first. Like, he's going to
change teams, right? I mean,
maybe
think about offseason value, right? His offseason value is going to be bad.
Here's the thing I would say about that is, where is he going to go that you would think that his value is actually going to be worse? Because it's going to be Denver, it's going to be Pittsburgh, it's going to be Miami. You're going to be looking at these teams that all have intriguing pieces. Like, and that's not,
I think
to
it's
going to
be scary regardless, though, even if the pieces are good.
Yeah.
Just for a comfort level.
But you can pivot then, right? Like, if you think it's going to be scary, like, if he lands in Denver, his value is going up, right? If he lands with Pittsburgh, I think his value is going up. You know, I haven't updated the Rolodex of where he could land recently, but like Miami might be one where you don't necessarily think that, but you know, Philly, I think Philly's probably, he goes up. I don't know. I look at it and I say, I don't think, like, even if you're scared at some point in the next year, I think you can pivot and potentially get more.
I mean, he's had one really good week against the Lions this year. And it's like, just remember what he did in 2019 and 2018. Like, it wasn't, I mean, I don't know. It wasn't difference making, and you can get cheap quarterbacks in 12 team. I don't know. It's a roster construction thing. I could see going both ways. I think it's more about this is just my stance of saying I believe in Debo, not that I'm totally out on Rodgers.
Okay. How about a more crystal clear one? Debo Samuel for 2022 seconds.
Debo Samuel.
Okay. There doesn't feel like very many moving pieces there.
I mean, I have Debo top 12 rest of season.
Okay.
With his usage, like, it regardless of quarterback, that's how I feel about it. And like, you kind of have to it's the profile thing. I know his profile isn't like amazing. It's not like, and I know Rodgers' profile is great, but I layer projections over it because that's what affects value short term as well. So.
Okay. All right. 90 seconds. Last player, Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp for Devontae Smith.
Kupp.
Cooper Kupp for Andy Dalton and David Montgomery. This is post-injury.
Kupp.
Where do you have Kupp in terms of like how high at the receiver position?
Rest of season, he's my wide receiver one.
Like, what about in Dynasty?
It's hard because you forget how old he is. Mm-hmm. He's like 28. So it's he could be this season's like Diggs, but a little bit older, like where you saw it coming, you saw the possibility, and then it happened, and then people still didn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, got the quarterback upgrade. So I guess I would put him, it's hard, I don't have ranks in front of me, but mm-hmm. I'd put him like maybe, so it's definitely a top 20 wide receiver.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And if that's going to be it, and he's going to be like wide receiver one for the end of the year, like, you have to have him high. You have to have him high.
He's going to be worth a lot, I think, based on his finish this year.
Right. Last one, Cooper Kupp for Judy and a 2022 first.
That's easy. It's just, you're contending or you rebuilding. Like, cause as I said, I'm really not selling Kupp on a contender. Like, I think that it's going to be elite rest of season in terms of points.
All right. Well, that'll do it. That'll do it. You've hit the 30-minute mark right on the number. That'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.